Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
90 minutes now, Russian President Vladimir Putin has been speaking for while he delivers his State of the Nation address. This is a postponed speech. It comes nearly a year since he ordered the invasion that has triggered the biggest confrontation with the West since the depths of the Cold War. The address is focusing on Russia's so-called special military operation and the role that he says the West are playing in the war. Well, joining me to take a closer look at what Putin has been talking about is former British ambassador to Belarus, John Everard. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning, Claire.
So, as I say, he's still going and he's into over an hour and a half now of his speech. I know that he said the West will use anyone, terrorists, Nazis, even the devil himself, in order to fight Russia. That address has been filled so far with comments about the role of the West, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. Putin has stuck to the script that he actually outlined even before he invaded Ukraine, that the problem with Ukraine is the West, that Ukraine is intrinsically part of Mother Russia, sacred site, Kiev, an ancient Russian city, and that the West is trying to pull Ukraine away from Russia and create a kind of alternative Russia. This is all the West's fault. Russia is the victim and is simply trying to defend itself. We've heard it before, but he said it today with much greater flamboyance and much greater emphasis.
Mm-hmm. The speech is being watched live by a number of dignitaries, and it's actually fascinating, isn't it, to look at the audience, because they're sitting stock still with absolute focus and attention there now for over an hour and a half. There is live coverage too of that speech, and it suffered an outage. Do we know what might have happened, John?
We don't know what caused the outage, but the reaction of the audience, yes, is telling. I'm old enough just to remember the last, the recordings of people watching Stalin's speeches, where everybody was terrified of being the last person to start clapping. I think anybody who was filmed in that audience blinking slightly, they must be getting a bit tired by now, or showing the slightest sign of any emotion other than complete support for Putin, might be in trouble.
Yes, and that's what I was watching out for, any sign of a stifled yawn, because that's not what you want to be caught doing, because I'm sure they're all being watched very closely, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And we're just being shown one camera feed. The Kremlin cameras, of course, will cover the entire audience. Nobody's going to yawn in that audience.
It's extraordinary. And the outage then, there's no information as to what happened.
No, I'm afraid not. Mm-hmm. That remains a small mystery. It may just have been technical fault. We don't know.
Let's go back then to what he's been saying. So in all of his speeches, he gives a bit of a history lesson, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. Putin is big on history. And one thing that struck me is that he's talked a lot about why the war started, how Russia was forced to defend itself. The existence of our nation is at stake, he said. And he saluted the brave Russian soldiers who, of course, his commanders are pushing forward in human wave formations into Ukrainian machine guns, throwing lives away. But he's talked an awful lot about the start of the war. He's told us nothing about the end of the war. Now, that is a telling absence. Not many months ago, Putin shifted the narrative from the denazification of Ukraine to the liberation of Donbass, which at that time probably seemed an achievable objective to him. This time, there is no objective spelled out at all. He hasn't told us under what conditions the war will end or what victory might look like. That's a bit unsettling, but also, of course, from his point of view, entirely understandable. He suffered a number of battlefield reverses and probably doesn't want to put up any kind of objective that might be knocked down mm-hmm. by further defeats.
But he is repeating that assertion that Russia was facing a Nazi threat.
Yes, and this has been echoed in right across Russian society. I mean, moving away from the speech slightly, they have started to talk about NATO Nazis in the suggestion that NATO is actually a neo-Nazi organization dedicated to the overthrow of the culture of Mother Russia. Rather nastily, talking about culture, there was a section of the speech on LGBT rights where Putin made clear that essentially he didn't think that they should have any, that the only valid relationship in this sphere was between a man and a woman who then begat children, and that the West was decadent. And that was a point at which the audience rose to its feet and clapped. Not mm-hmm. a pretty sight.
Mm-hmm. Because he accuses the West of trying to destabilize family life in Russia.
Yes, he does. he regards what we regard as legitimate discussion of LGBT rights as cultural imperialism. That Russia has values and the rest is challenging these and is therefore aggressive.
Now, he is making this speech as the US President Joe Biden arrives in Warsaw. He's expected to make a speech there. His surprise visit began in Kyiv yesterday. Has President Putin mentioned the United States and Biden in particular?
No, that was another surprise absence. I thought before he started that he had to say something about President Biden's visit to Ukraine, even if it was through a snarl. But no, he simply didn't mention it. It also makes the timing of this speech rather strange. I mean, it's clearly associated with the anniversary of the war, but that's on Friday, so why give the speech today? And if you're going to give this speech today, why not wait till after President Biden's speech so that you get the last word in? There's a lot there that doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. And of course, I mentioned at the beginning that this was postponed because this speech was due to happen in December, but they had some bad news coming from the battlefield at that time, so they delayed the speech, didn't they?
Yes, that's right. Of course, they were still reeling in December from the defeats of the Ukrainian September offensive, where Ukraine cleared Russian troops out of very large areas of its territory. Doubtless, Putin was hoping for better battlefield news. There's been a lot of fighting, particularly in the Donbass, but it hasn't really gone very well for the Russians so far. The one big offensive they've launched, they suffered terrible casualties. Once again, using kind of First World War human wave tactics, not very well trained conscripts sent just to charge across fields into machine gun fire. It is absolutely insane. And of course, it hasn't achieved military objectives. Mm-hmm. So he didn't get the good news that he wanted, but he decided nevertheless to go ahead with the speech.
And he did mention the troops. He thanked them for their service. He said he's going to set up a fund for veterans. He also paid some thanks, some gratitude to ordinary Russians for their ongoing support. How important is it that he says that? Because you'd imagine morale is low, not just when it comes to those troops that he mentioned, but also right across Russia, because they're suffering on the back of the sanctions that have been in place now for the last 12 months?
Well, only up to a point. The figures that came out just 2 days ago showed that the Russian economy has not actually suffered anything like as badly from the sanctions as the sanctions crafters had hoped. And the life in most of Russia just goes on. There has been some economic shrinkage, but nothing too horrible. And morale is holding up. When this war started, people were talking about a collapse in Russian morale and mass desertions by Russian troops. That simply hasn't happened, nor is there any sign of it happening anytime soon. The troops are buoyed up by the fact that they're paid 150,000 rubles a month. That's rather over $2,000 a month. In Russia, that's a great deal of money. The conditions that the conscripts are being forced to train in, let alone fight in, are terrible. But the money has been made available to at least provide an incentive for them so that you know that if you survive this war, then you're going to be able to go back with a fairly solid financial pad to set yourself up in business or, you know, perhaps even to give your kids education.
Mm-hmm. Well, the West needs to ask now why those sanctions aren't working.
Oh, we've been asking that for a long time. I can take up most of this interview to explain why, but very briefly, it's because prices of oil and gas remain stubbornly high. Russia continued to be able to export these to customers like China and India. And, of course, the fact that a lot of Western companies cut links with Russia meant that Russia wasn't importing anything like as much. So if you export more and import less, of course, you know, you end up with a cash pile. But it is not at all clear that this situation is going to continue much longer. Prices for both oil and gas are wobbling. There are real problems with supply, particularly to China. There's no pipeline, so Russia has to supply China with tankers, which keep breaking down, and the Chinese are getting a bit irritated at this. It's likely that the economy will suffer a great deal more over the rest of this year than it's suffered so far.
You mentioned China. The United States Secretary of State Antony Blinken saying, John, that China is considering supplying weapons and ammunition to Russia for the war in Ukraine. Now, give me your assessment of how serious that would be should it come to pass.
If that came to pass, I think it would be very serious. I think it would plunge US-Chinese relations to new depths of confrontation, which neither side wants. But having said that, Wang Yi, the Chinese foreign minister, said just yesterday, I think it was, that they were very concerned about the Ukraine conflict. They were concerned that it was escalating out of control, for which they blamed the United States, because they always blame the United States. That's a kind of Chinese reflex. But the fact that a senior Chinese has said that they're worried about the conflict escalating, I think was a signal that they do not intend to throw fuel on the fire by supplying lethal aid.
John, thank you very much for listening to that speech for us, which is still going on, by the way. We're up to an hour and 40 minutes now that Vladimir Putin has been speaking at that podium. But John Everard, thank you very much for bringing us a sense of what he has been saying so far. Back after this.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.